Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
I'm not the CTU. I'm the mayor of the greatest freaking city in the world.
A shakeup at Chicago Public Schools, budget woes, and battles with city council. Mayor Johnson joins us in studio to discuss it all. And efforts to improve the Chicago area's public transportation systems and attract more riders. First off tonight, next month, Chicago voters will cast their ballot for the first time for members of the city's school board. For decades, the seven-member board has been appointed by the mayor. Voters will now pick members in 10 districts, and the mayor will pick 11 as the board triples in size to 21 members. All seven members of the current board resigned Friday, and yesterday the mayor named six replacements at a rather fiery news conference.
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah.
Ask me the question if I believe that we should invest in our children and make sure we don't lay off brown and black women. Yes. Yes. I'm not going to tolerate cuts. That's what the issue has been in this city. You know what a better question would be? What are you willing to do with your power to ensure that a school district that stuffed black children in Willis wagons? What you should be asking me is, what are you willing to do where you had a district that have laid off black women? You should be asking me, what am I prepared and willing to do to ensure that our children get the education that they deserve? Anything necessary.
And joining us now is Mayor Brandon Johnson. Fiery indeed. We're going to come back to that press conference in a little bit. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So some of this upheaval at CPS, it has alarmed some parents who worry that this may be causing leaders to focus not on educating their children, but to keeping their jobs, focusing on keeping their jobs amid all of this tumult. You, of course, you're a CPS parent as well. Are you worried about any of this turmoil that we've been witnessing being felt in the classroom as well?
Well, listen. You know, 330,000 children showed up in our schools today. Over 40,000 people welcomed them, my children included, because I'm the first mayor in the history of Chicago to actually send their children to the Chicago Public Schools, and everything went well today. Now, does the district have to do better in responding to the demands that black and brown parents have had and working people in this city for a very long time? Demands of class sizes that are manageable, smaller, social workers and counselors, libraries and librarians, extracurricular activities like sports and recreation, creating opportunities so that our young people can explore careers in the trades. Of course, they should be concerned about that, and so am I. And that's why I'm prepared to do whatever is necessary to invest in our children. As someone who has been a public school teacher, the first mayor in the history of Chicago to send their children to the Chicago, to the Chicago Public Schools, the parents of this city elected one of their own. And I'm going to do everything in our power to ensure that we don't go back to a time of chaos. Chaos of school closures, chaos of privatization, That type of disruption ended once I got elected.
At the same time, Mayor, there is a lot going on, right? There is an elected school board or elections for a school board happening for the first time in the city's history coming up. We know that the district is still negotiating the Chicago Teachers Union contract. Last time they were negotiating a contract, they had another strike. And there's been talk about whether or not the current CEO, Pedro Martinez, will be keeping his job. All of that, maybe that is not chaos, but it is a lot for the district to be managing at one time. Do you not feel like all of this can sow some instability?
Well, what has sowed instability has been the chaos of previous administrations who didn't pay into our retirement system. And so we have an underfunded pension system that was created by previous administrations when they decided to take all those dollars and give them towards corporations. We've had chaos again when we've closed schools down, 50 all at once. We've had chaos when public assets have been privatized. I'm the only mayor in the history of Chicago who made a commitment to an elected school board and saw it through. That's called democracy. That's a good thing. That's what the people of Chicago actually voted for, and that's what I support. What they also support is me fully investing in our children. That's what's most important in this moment, is that as a parent, our oldest, we live on the west side. We have to travel to the south side of Chicago because there was not a neighborhood school or an opportunity for my son to have a school that has orchestra, and AP and honors courses, as well as sports and recreation. And these are the problems that we've had in our school district for a very long time, and we can no longer afford to wait, Brandis. Look, I'm gonna do everything in my power to fight for the interests of the people of this city. That's what they elected me to do, and that's what I'm doing.
That said, you, as we mentioned, you've appointed 6 new board members yesterday. Mm-hmm. But could all of this, and some of those folks, they are the names that we see on the screen right here, could all of this, though, could it further confusion about a race that voters might already be a bit confused about because the elected school board is a bit complicated? Do you think voters are going to be confused when they have to go to vote on this in a month?
No. I have complete confidence that the people of Chicago know that we have elections November 5th. First of all, we have to make sure we elect Vice President Kamala Harris and another social studies teacher, Governor Walz, right? And they're going to, for
the first time, that they're going to be voting.
And so we encourage parents to do what I promised we would have, which is an elected representative school board. Remember, I'm the only mayor in the history of this city to actually support one, and we have one. So parents get to go out and vote. But here's the thing that parents do understand and know, that I still have the power to appoint board members, because we have two options here: my vision to invest in schools, or the vision of the status quo, which is to cut. I've been in those classrooms as a public school teacher when those cuts came down. And the despair and the hopelessness that ensues, the chaos that comes with that type of instability, we're not going backwards. We're going forward. And that's what these appointments and these nominees represent.
You do have, of course, the power to make these appointments. But why appoint these new members now rather than wait until the election when you've got more information and you've seen what the voters have decided?
Because we can't continue to wait for transformation in this school district. Parents have been waiting for transformation in this school district for decades. Once upon a time, black children were stuffed in Willis wagons because the school district refused to invest in them. Once upon a time, you know, we had black teachers in particular, black women overwhelmingly, have been laid off. That's what's being proposed right now. The people who oppose my vision, the vision that the people of Chicago voted for, they want to take us back to cuts and closures and privatization. That's all they're calling for. The reason why they're not talking out loud what their plan is, because they want to take us backwards. That ended when I got elected. We're going to invest to ensure that every single school has social workers, counselors, behavior health and mental health counselors. Many of our children are suffering from deep, deep trauma, and we don't have a school district right now that is responding to those needs. I'm going to respond to those needs. We're going to transform this school district once and for all.
And of course, that transformation, it costs money. Mm. And I want to come back to funding it, obviously, in a little bit. But the CPS board has the power to terminate Pedro Martinez, mm-hmm. Either immediately or in 6 months because of his contract. Did you replace the board because the sitting board refused to terminate Martinez?
I replaced this board because this is a transition period. I'm going to shepherd calmness and stability as we move towards, for the first time in the history of Chicago, at least a partially elected representative school board. That is my responsibility as a leader, to provide stability and certainty. And so this board that we've had, I appreciate their work. With this new board, we were able to ensure that we went towards evidence-based budgeting so that we would fund schools based on needs and not on a per people basis. It's with this board that we were able to take my transition report from my campaign, turn it into a 5-year strategic plan to ensure that the vision that the people of Chicago have for our public schools actually comes to fruition. What this next iteration of the board members, what they will do is that they will help transition us into a hybrid elected school board.
And that, will that is the due diligence. Will those board members remain on?
Some of them might. Right? It just depends on the outcome of the election. But I can tell you one thing. I am not going to wait and take a passive approach towards transforming our public school system. The cuts have been severe in this district, where we have unemployment, particularly within the west and south sides of Chicago, that has reached Great Depression era numbers. We're not going back to that era where we close schools and parents don't know if their school is actually going to be funded. You know, and so here's the important thing to note here. The people of Chicago elected one of their own, a parent. I know exactly what parents are dealing with right now. They're tired of having to negotiate with a school district that doesn't promise them or give them guaranteed access to a fully funded education system. I'm working hard and overtime to give parents in this city what they ultimately deserve, and that's a fully funded education system.
Of course, but simply replacing board members does not in itself, of course, fund the initiatives that you would like to see the district have. Are you expecting that this school board will approve loans to, first of all, bridge the district's budget gap, but also meet the needs of whatever comes of the CTU contract?
Look, there's two visions for our public schools. It's cuts, and we've already seen the disaster that that does, right? We've already seen that, where parents are begging desperately for the city of Chicago to believe in their children, or we can invest in our children. And if I'm faced with a decision to cut, to take away from families in this city, versus having to keep an option on the table, or we might have to borrow some money to help connect us to the full transformation, I know what decision I'm going to make. I'm going to make sure we invest in children and invest in the families of this city. I'm not going to cut and take away, lay off, fire, privatize, so that other people can benefit and the people of the city of Chicago continue to lose. Not under my watch.
Yesterday, Mayor, you had a visit with the press. A lot was said. We played a clip of that earlier. And one of the things you said, especially, it sounds like you've been withholding some anger and frustration a little bit since you've gotten into office. Do you feel like you've been treated differently than previous mayors?
Well, you know, I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as anger. You know, I believe I bring an intellect to this conversation that has been long overdue. And, you know, I'm grateful that the people of Chicago entrusted me with their hopes and aspirations and their dreams. And, you know, look, I can tell you this. Every other mayor prior to me has had this same authority. I cannot recall a time in which you've had people question the authority that I have that is given to me by the people of this city. Now, I don't know why they didn't question previous administrations when they decided not to pay into the pensions. I don't know why we didn't question administrations when they sold off parking meters and sold off the Skyway or closed schools. I don't know why they didn't question them. But here's one thing that I will say that we should never question. My conviction and my goal to ensure that every single child in this city, a district that is 90% children of color, brown and black, finally get a chance to realize the hopes and aspirations of our ancestors. Public education at the expense of the state, particularly in the South, after all, is a Negro idea. Those are the words of W.E.B. Du Bois. Education in of itself, public assets, whether it's education, housing, healthcare, jobs, transportation, these are the hopes and dreams of the people who have been marginalized for decades in this city. We are not going back to a time in which the marginalized remain marginal, and somehow, Mayor, I have to apologize for actually investing in people. I'm not going to apologize for carrying out the vision that the people of Chicago entrusted me with.
So this is something that you mentioned yesterday. You said that those who oppose a proposal to borrow money to fill the school's budget are echoing arguments made by Southerners who oppose the abolition of slavery. Here's actually a look at that yesterday.
The so-called fiscally responsible stewards are making the same argument when our people wanted to be liberated and emancipated in this country. The argument was, you can't free black people because it would be too expensive. They said that it would be fiscally irresponsible for this country to liberate black people. And now you have detractors making the same argument of the Confederacy when it comes to public education in this system.
Of course, a strong comparison to make there, Mayor. Do you think that that makes it more difficult to reach a compromise or find common ground?
What's the compromise? Here's what they're asking the people of Chicago to consider. To cut and disrupt and destroy a very fragile school district. That's what they're proposing. They're not saying it out loud, but they're saying that we can lay off brown and black women, that we don't have to have libraries and librarians, that we don't have to have social workers and counselors, that we don't have to have opportunities for individuals to experience the trades. I brought $20 billion of new investments into the city. I want to make sure that we have a workforce that's prepared to dig and build on the investments that I brought. City colleges, for instance, a 48% increase in enrollment, a 48% increase across the district, our city colleges, the number one subgroup of individuals that are enrolling in city colleges, it's black young men. And so the reason why I'm saying that, Brandis, is because I'm responsible for the education system from pre-K all the way up through our community colleges. And we are investing in our community colleges to ensure that our children have an opportunity to have an advancement and opportunities for progress. And if we
because we're almost out of time, and I want to get to one more thing, because City Council, they're discussing your new Board of Education picks at a special meeting tomorrow. How would you describe your relationship with aldermen right now in about 45 seconds?
Well, you know, look, they have a job that they have to do. And again, they're well within their prerogative. But keep in mind that the state law gives me the authority to do what every other mayor has done prior to me. And as I was saying with our community colleges, we have to make sure that the trades, as well as arts, a fully funded education system is actually realized. We're not going backwards. I'm going to transform this school district. As a parent, as a teacher, and as now mayor of the greatest city in the world, I've been given the mandate to do what other administrations refuse to do, and that's actually to put our families first.
That is where we'll have to leave it. Mayor Brandon Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Up next, Nick Blumberg on efforts to merge the area's public transit agencies.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
With the Chicago area's transit agencies facing down a $730 million fiscal cliff, state lawmakers have been working on a plan to preserve and improve public transportation. Perhaps the boldest idea is the pitch to do away with CTA, Metra, PACE, and the RTA, creating an entirely new Metropolitan Mobility Authority. For the last several months, the Senate Transportation Committee's held a series of hearings on public transit and how governance reforms and new funding could chart a new course for Chicagoland. Joining us to talk more about that are State Senator Ram Villivallam of Chicago, chair of the Transportation Committee, and State Senator Don DeWitt of St. Charles, the minority spokesperson for the Transportation Committee. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
So this process got started with a report from the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. They laid out some potential paths for reform. Senator Villivallam, you were among the lawmakers who floated a bill this spring that would combine, as we mentioned, CTA, Metra, and PACE. Why is it an idea you think is worth considering?
Well, given the magnitude of the situation we're in, we must reassess this 40-plus year program or system that's been in place. Four different agencies, 21 different appointing authorities, 47 different appointments between RTA, CTA, Metra, and PACE. We are talking about a system that we need for the future and a funding amount for that system that is unprecedented. So we need to ensure that this new system with this new funding is accountable and transparent, and that's why this is the moment to have that conversation.
As you both know far better than I, you know, CTA, Metra, PACE, RTA, they've all been pretty vehemently opposed to the idea of these sort of major governance reforms. Senator DeWitt, have the transit agencies meaningfully been engaging with the work that your committee and other lawmakers have been doing?
Absolutely. Representatives of all of the service boards have been regular attendees at virtually all of the public hearings we've been holding on a county-by-county basis, which I think has been a great move to make sure everybody is heard, everybody has their input. As you can imagine, my suburban mayors and even a number of county board chairmen are all very concerned about the elimination of their current involvement within that three service board process, the CTA, Metra, and PACE. I think we can all agree that the RTA or the MMA, as it may be called, eventually does have to have control over all three of those service boards who up until this point have all operated almost in a silo. The RTA has only been involved in long-term financing and long-term planning. Our mayors and county board chairmen in the suburbs want to be sure by maintaining the service board structure, they will continue to have input into how their revenues that they are generating in the suburbs and the five collar counties are used.
Well, and you mentioned the RTA. They've pitched some, you know, more modest ideas for governance changes, more regional coordination for service, for fair policy, for capital projects. Do you think that, you know, the proposal they've put out there goes far enough?
That still is remains to be seen. You know, as Senator DeWitt mentioned, we've done five committee hearings, over 21 hours of testimony throughout the RTA region. Next week, we're doing a hearing in Springfield to discuss downstate public transit needs. And I think through these hearings, one piece is clear. There's a consensus that we need a robust public transit system that's good for our economy, our public health, and mitigates climate impact. It's good for our quality of life. And so there's a lot of consensus around that. I think there's also consensus on some of the issues you laid out, whether it's talking about the fact that CTA and PACE right now have two separate procurements, making one agency, the regional agency, have the authority for capital project prioritization. At the end of the day, we need a central agency that is going to address safety, reliability, accessibility for the entire region. And that is what is lacking right now. And before we take any vote on funding, we need to see from the agencies what service improvements and expansions will occur and how will they be implemented and how can we hold them accountable for all of that.
Yeah, and I mean, the transit boards have been making the case for increased funding, and they've also said that these kinds of governance reforms aren't necessarily going to create the sorts of cost savings that, that folks hope they will. You know, Senator DeWitt, do you think there is an appetite for increased funding without these sorts of reforms in Springfield?
Well, I think you have to define what reforms really means. One of the ironies in this whole process, I think, is that we all pretty much agree that there needs to be one agency in charge of all three of those different service boards. But the service boards are vital from the standpoint that, for instance, Metra and CTA are both in the train business, but they run very different business models. CTA and PACE Suburban Bus Service are both in the bus business, but they're very different business models in how they operate. I think having an MMA that oversees all three of those agencies is something we pretty much all agree on, and most of the people we've talked to agree on.
Of course.
But again, it's going to have to be a continued conversation and a much longer conversation with the individual service boards. If MMA comes into play, how do each of these service boards intend to coordinate the services between the three of them as we agree to really come up with a regional system where all three service boards are working together?
Of course, a key part of the, you know, discussion here is also this idea of perhaps up to $1.5 billion of new revenue. Senator Villivalam, have you started thinking about potential sources for that revenue, or is that a little ways off?
I think it's still to be determined. First and foremost, we're still in the process of having committee hearings and having conversations with the agencies about what level of service will be achieved with what level of funding, right? And that's something very important to note. The $730 million figure is just to get the service that we have today. If you talk with the riders that ride every day, whether it's PACE, Metra, or CTA, they want to see improvements. They want to see expansions. We also need to be planning not just to plug a hole for next year, but for three decades from now, from 2050, where my kids and everybody else's kids are going to be able to use the system to get to their job, their school, their hospital, in a more interconnected way.
You mentioned you're wrapping up this series of hearings. There's also the working group in the House. We've got about 30 seconds left, but Senator DeWitt, do you have any idea of a timeline for the next steps here?
Well, I think the revenue discussion is probably going to be a little bit longer conversation than perhaps the governance conversations that we've been having through this public service, public hearing process. I really don't think we're going to be able to see any legitimate movement on currently filed legislation probably till the 25 session. The Speaker Welch has already said he doesn't anticipate any action in the House in 2024, veto session or lame duck session for that matter. I think slow and steady in this conversation will make a lot more sense moving forward.
Well, certainly much more to talk about, and we look forward to hearing more from you. But thank you both, Senator Ram Villivalam and Don DeWitt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're back to wrap things up right after this.
And that's our show for this Tuesday night. If you're looking for more backstory on the biggest news of the day, sign up for our email newsletter, The Daily Chicagoan. Not only do we dig into complicated issues facing the city, but we also introduce you to new ways to explore Chicago. And stay connected with our reporters and what they're working on by following us on Instagram at WTTW Chicago. And join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Calls for transparency as some city council members push back on the changes at the Chicago Board of Education. And how the founder of the Harlem Globetrotters, Abe Saperstein, shook up the world of sports. Now for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its 20 attorneys recognized in the 2025 edition of the Best Lawyers in America.